Continuing the Masilas Yesharim, Perek Tes Vav, Bedarkei Knias HaPrishus. Okay, so the final discussion over here. Yesterday we finished Perek Yudalad.
Can I pace?
Perek Yudalad, and now we're moving on to Perek Tes Vav. Now this is the last chapter that discusses this Midah. Okay, so we're in a few pages we'll be ready to begin a new topic. But in many ways it's the most important, because once we have some sort of grasp as to what Prishus is supposed to mean, how does a person get to that level? Again, in the fullest sense of the term, this is a ladder. This is each chapter is a stepping stone for the next. So no one's expected to get there tomorrow, but we at least have to have on our radar. Rabbi of mine once had a very succinct line. I think Rabbi Neuberger said this. We have to be very balanced and appreciative of what we can handle in today's day and age. We're not the same as people were in different generations, and every locality, every age, every period of time has different avodah things we're supposed to be working on, but we should never rob ourselves or the children we're educating, grandchildren we're educating, of the greater hasagas. I guess maybe that's one of the reasons why the Gedolim stories are important. You know, sometimes people get depressed or cynical because of the Gedolim stories, but one of the reasons why that's the Minigan Klai Yisrael is because we should at least know, right? If you dumb everything down, and you say, look, all right, it's 2022. It's not like it was in the old days. You know, this isn't Europe. You know, like, however you want to put it, at some point, like, you dilute what it means to strive and to aspire for high levels. And even if you don't get there, you know, like, how does that expression go? Shoot for the stars, you hit the moon, or something like that, right?
Shoot for the moon, you end up with the stars.
Oh, okay, I guess that's even better. All right. But, Lamaisa, you know, we have to have high goals, and we shouldn't be disappointed if we don't reach all those goals. We should try to make reasonable goals. But if we don't have any aspirations, if we don't put anything a little bit higher than what we can reach, you know, we're never going to get anywhere.
Isn't there an issue if we put it too high?
100%, right? That's why I said it has to be reasonable. Someone who's jumping for the net, it's always a little bit higher than where he can reach. You know, you have a kid who's 10 years old, so maybe you lower the rim for him a little bit, right? Then he's you know, 12 years old, you raise a little higher. When he's in high school, you know, so he can play on a regular regulation court, you know, whatever. But at some point, if you just kept it, if you didn't raise it a little bit beyond what he was able to reach, a little out of his comfort zone, you know, as he progresses, so then he's still going to be playing, you know, T-ball when he's, when he should be playing in the big leagues. So, Kinyas HaPrishus, how do we achieve it? The most effective way to strive for preachers and acquire preachers is as follows. So, he says, this is about thinking. This is about mind over matter. This is not like I press a button. This is not like I go to the gym and I'm going to exercise my preachers. It's about contemplation. A lot of Yiddishkeit is about contemplation. It's about thinking, which is one of the reasons why the dangers of technology, you know, forget about what the content of the technology, the fact that it's pervasive, it's at every moment, you could always be somewhere else, you don't have time to sit and think. And to really be a Yid, you have to make time where you're in your own brain, not in someone else's brain, or not someone else putting things into your brain. You need to be thinking for yourself and asking yourself questions and ponder it. Like, how did Avraham Avinu become Avraham Avinu? Because he looked at the world, and he thought about it, and he saw the sun rising every day and setting every day, and it just got him, you know, to philosophize of the meaning of life and the origins of the universe, right? You're never going to get to that if you're always just thinking about what people, you know, shove into your face or into your brain or in front of your eyes. So you have to give time to consider the negative side of just being constant pursuit of pleasure of this world. Right? How many times have we heard people say, oh, you know, like, I really shouldn't eat this bowl of cholent, you know, but, like, or, you know, oh, that chocolate cake. I really shouldn't do this, but, all right, I'll take a piece. You know, like, what does that mean, I really shouldn't do it, but? It means I know it's bad for me. I know it's not healthy. I know I'm going to regret the 2 a.m. Golan later, okay? But even though I've thought about it, even though I've experienced it, even though it's something that I have come to terms with, I'm going to do it anyway, right? So you can get away with, people aren't embarrassed to do that with a bowl of cholent, but there's other things that people do that we don't talk about as much. A person's own personal avoda that, like, I know it's not good for me, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? So if it sounds a little bit ridiculous when you're on the diet and you say, I know I shouldn't have the chocolate cake and have it anyway, zoktim sil zisharm, it should also be ridiculous, or we should work to the point that it is ridiculous to us and we're able to finally say no, right? And again, it's any area of life. It could be even, you know, Lashon Hara, right? I know if I say something, it's going to get back to me, or it's going to hurt someone, right? Like, we've all had that feeling where, like, I know I shouldn't say this, right? Like, I don't know if this is Lashon Hara, but, you know, like, same idea, right? So the avoda is to catch yourself when you're still in that moment of thought where it occurs to you, okay, you know, this is not a good idea. So yistaka la'odim agriyas, what does yistaka mean? What does yistaka mean? L'histakel. To see, right? It means a little more to see. L'histakel means like to take a very deep, close look. What's the first mission on the third parak of Pirkei Avos? Rabbi Kavya ben Mahala Omer, call him mistakel b'shlosha dvarim l'yavol de'avera. Right? You have to look at three things. Where you come from, where you're going, right? So what does it mean to look at those things? So I guess if you go to a graveyard and you just sort of like look at cemeteries and okay, that can have an effect on someone, right? But that's not what he wants you to do, right? We're not taking a field trip, you know, like after the Shear softball game, okay, next time guys, that's not what we're doing, okay? Because that's not the point. You don't actually need to be in a cemetery, right? Notice, I never thought of this. Rabbosai b'schus the shir. Think about this. Kol mistakel b'shoshu devar. Right. Someone looks at three things. Right. Where's the? Anyone have a sitter? Yeah. Look at this. Let's look at this inside. This is actually. This is true. Wow. Rabbosai. This is such a pashut ha'ara. But, you know, I've read this Mishnah a million times. I just shared this Mishnah at a Shiva house last night. I was talking about some other details of the Mishnah, like the depth of the words of Chazal. Look at three things, and you won't come to Avera. Da me'ayin basa ul ananta holech. Know where you come from and where you're going. How did you jump from look at three things to know, right? No, don't know, right? Those two words, they're different verbs. They shouldn't fit in the same sentence. Elamai, right? Just very simply. Histako doesn't mean look at it. Doesn't mean take a picture. It means deep thought and contemplation. Histakel, look very closely. Happens to be that there's nafka minas la halacha. And you don't have a chelik beis mishabura? Okay, so... Okay, let's see if we can quickly... find this in Chelik Beis is a good chunk of it. I would say almost the biggest chunk of Chelik Beis revolves around Hilchos Brachos. Okay, so towards the end, I think it's Siman Reish Chaf Aleph talks about Brachos on thunder and lightning and whatnot. Shechayanu, Atov Ametiv that we were talking about the other day, right? I'm just going to pause. It's actually the end of Siman Reish Chaf Hei. Haroa Ilanos Tovos Ubrios Nos. Someone who sees beautiful trees, beautiful creatures. Okay? Rashi Brura says, Bein Zachar and Bein Nekevos, men or women, is a bracha. Akshav lo nagu klal levarak bracha zeh. Nowadays, we don't make this bracha at all. Okay? Take a look at the Chai Adam. Brings a reason for it. Rashi Brura has his own reason. They have to be extraordinarily beautiful, not simply regular beautiful. And it's very hard to be mashar that, hard to delineate exactly what makes the cut. Okay. Afilo v'kachav v'mo behema. Even if a person is not Jewish, Okay? A person is not Jewish, you would still make a bracha if the individual was very, very handsome, attractive, and so forth. What's the bracha? Baruchat Hashem, Okeinu Melech Olam, Shekocha Lo Ba'olamo. Hashem made this beautiful creature, beautiful creation. Mishbura continues in Sifkat Lamed Gimel. What does this mean? I'm looking at a very beautiful individual, even a guy. Seems a little bit strange. And there's a bracha on that? Like, what exactly, like, this just doesn't seem consistent with how we usually, educate people.
The Jewish dating one, right?
So, he quotes from the Magen Avraham, which is based on the Gemara. Hainu Riyah Ba'alma Demutr. Avalistak Ubo Biyosu Lizbonu Bidimuso Aser. So, the context of the Gemara, one of the places where we find this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, is a Riyah Ba'alma. What's a Riyah Ba'alma?
In the world?
Just, I happen to see something, I'm walking down the block and around the corner, boom, I bump into someone. Avalistak Ubo Biyoser. But to really concentrate and to really focus and examine Lizbonu Bidimuso and to really focus on the image, that's Aser. Okay? The truth is, the Gemara even says, Aser lomer kama no akum ze mishum lo sachanim. Not even supposed to compliment a non-Jew and say, oh, what a handsome, what a beautiful person. Okay? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes to the Magen Avraham, like we just said, difference between Ru'iya and Histaklus. And he cross-references in the Bir Halacha, on the spot, a Raya to this distinction between Riyah and Histaklus. Vadai Histaklus Baal Mashari, Didafkal Histakobo Biyoser Uzboni Bidmusa. That just because the Gemara in Brachos says Haroe, that's not the same thing as being Mistakal. Mistakal implies a deeper form of concentration. I'll get you afterwards, then, okay? So all I'm trying to bring out over here is the Masilas Yesharim uses this term very carefully. We see it reflected in Pirkei Avos, a few more minutes or both sides. That the only way you're going to achieve what he is trying to inculcate as the tool for being Kohen Precious is with a very thoughtful amount of concentration. Not just, I know I shouldn't do this, but really actually spending time. Actually spending time and considering how damaging or negative or counterproductive, whatever it happens to be, whatever the reverse of the precious that we started with is going to, the impact it's going to have on himself. Hine mashmat, devil tanugas ha'ela, achitzar kokach koach, v'tach bulus lafri shomehem, because the natural inclination that pulls a person towards enjoyment and pleasure that requires such a powerful pull in the opposite direction and strategies for a person to distance himself from those things that are unhealthy or are going to put him on the wrong path that he's not interested in following. Who pito einayim aniftim b'mari advarim asher tov ariv l'chora. So he says the way we were created, our eyes are easily seduced by what they see, right? As the expression goes in English, eyes are bigger than the stomach, right? Means that the sensitivity. He's telling you a reality of human behavior, of human psychology. The eyes react and respond, the nervous system really, right? Responds to the stimuli that the eyes encounter in a sharper way than other sensory perception may cause. Asher hu tova ariv l'chora, that which to the eyes seems appealing, seems good, seems sweet, seems delicious. Hu apita shegarm l'chira arishon she'yasa. Wow. That is a gilui, Rabbi Sai. What do we always say? B'shem Rav Tzadok and the Vilna Gaon, that if you want to know the true meaning of a word, you have to look to the very first time that it appears, right? So the same thing is true, we're being told by the Masilas Yesharim, when it comes to the first event of a certain type, right? When we talk about the original sin. So, what was the very first channel by which a person was brought to violate the Ratzon Hashem? So, it's interesting. I'm just going to expand on the Masilas Yesharim for a second. B'nai Yisachar points out, right, that the sense of smell is the most spiritual of all of our senses. Right? How do we know that? A few examples you could think of on top of your head. Reach Nichoch. Right? The pleasure of the Karbanos is always described with an aroma, right? Hashem doesn't smell, he doesn't see, he doesn't hear, he's not human, But that's how we describe it. What else?
Smell wasn't part of the sin of the apple.
Oh, okay. So hold on to that. That's the punchline. Okay, but how is it reflected? Adam, you've been in shir a couple of years. How is it reflected? Besamim, right? What other sense do we add into havdalah, into a right? Because why would we smell the besamim? What does it do for us?
It is apparently like enough to give us satisfaction for the second misstep.
To the neshama, right? There's something that the neshama is able to draw from the pleasure of the smell. That, you know, like, why don't I just like have a nice piece of steak with my havdalah, right? You know, like, why does it have to be cinnamon? You know, like, I thought so, okay? But Elamai, the sense of smell, explains B'nai Sashar and Adam, was the only one of the senses that wasn't hurt, wasn't damaged spiritually by the Chet of Adam Rishon. Because the Pasuk described it, Chava saw it, and she touched it, and she tasted it, right? And she listened to the snake, right? The snake convinced her, right? So, but the sense of smell was the only thing that's not described in the pasuk as having anything to do, which, by the way, right, it wasn't an apple. Definitely wasn't an apple, okay? It might have been an esrog, okay, which has a good smell, okay? But it also could have been wheat, could have been grapes. We don't really associate those with smells, but it doesn't matter, okay? So, Zaktim Sol Sisharim, the first and foremost, this is classic. Like, what does this pasuk mean? The woman saw that it was good to eat. How do you see that something's good to eat? Right?
Well,
If you've tasted something before, they have good pizza. I'm going back there today. Right? So then if you've tasted it, you know it's good, right? But when you see something, that's just your mind not playing a trick on you, but it is igniting desire. It's igniting your appetite through the sensory perception of the eyes, right? Without actually telling you whether it's going to taste good, right? Without ever telling you if you're going to regret it later. And then the puzzle continues. The chisava hula inayim. Why did she think it was a good idea to eat it? Because it was very desirous to the eyes. That doesn't make any sense, right? Don't they do this blind taste test thing? You know, like Pepsi, Coke, right? You know, like. Because only when you cover your eyes, you're not thinking, oh, the real thing. You know, like you're not thinking about all the advertisements, you know, in the Super Bowl for the other soda, right? Because why do they spend millions of dollars on the advertisements? Because you can see them, right? No one is spending as much on the radio announcements for the Super Bowl. I've never seen, like, you know, the day after the Super Bowl, you know, like top 10 radio commercials during the Super Bowl. Like, no, like never. Why? Because it's just not as cool. It's just not as it's not going to bring you in the same way. It's mamash the pasuk and bracious. Isn't that scary? We all say, isn't it scary how we're like slaves to our eyes? This is a big monster. But he says step one is to release yourself of the shiba.